This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Larry McReynolds right now as he joins us. Larry, welcome back after a very interesting Daytona 500. How you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. Hard to believe that Speed Weeks has come and gone and another Daytona 500, and interesting to your point, Daytona 500 in the book.
I will say it was interesting. Before we talk racing with you, I saw you on the sidelines at the Alabama-Clemson National Championship game. More surprising to you, all the wrecks yesterday at the end of the Daytona 500 and the red flags are the way Clemson beat Alabama in football that night.
Yeah, you know, I've got to be honest, though. We got there very early when the stadium opened, and I was there watching. Heck, when the guys walked out on the field when they first arrived there and through all the warm-ups, and I told the gentleman I was there with, Bill McAnally, I said, Bill, I don't like what I'm seeing. This was about an hour before the game. It's like Clemson just had so much energy, and our guys just looked flat. And, you know, obviously my gut feeling was not wrong, and I don't know if it's possible to play 60 minutes of perfect football, but Clemson came mighty close to it. But, you know, I got on the airplane the next morning, had to fly back to Charlotte, and with Clemson being fairly close to Charlotte, I felt like I was on a Clemson team plane, which just kind of added insult to injury. But I guess I got to reflect, and I said, you know, since Ole Miss beat the Crimson Tide in September of 2015, that is only the fourth loss. And, you know, yeah, two of them, unfortunately, has been to Clemson for a national championship, but there's a lot of college football teams and fans that would love to have that kind of record.
Larry, for the record, I'm a marginal NASCAR guy, but watching the ending yesterday, 12 cautions, 5 wrecks in that final 20 laps, an hour and 45 minutes, it was painful. Is there any solution for NASCAR moving forward in a situation like that?
Well, you know, when you put 40 guys out there and at the end of the day, at the end of 500 miles, it's an opportunity to win a career-changing race, the Daytona 500. And I speak from experience as a crew chief that was able to win it twice. You know, you do whatever you have to do that. And unfortunately, the result sometimes is what we saw yesterday. I think, honestly, when we head back to the next restrictor plate race at Talladega there, coming up in a couple of months, it's going to be a different aero package and engine package. And I think this might still produce – no, I know it's going to still produce the great racing, but I think that the drivers are going to feel like they've got a little more control with the way the throttle will respond. We will not have the restrictor plate. I don't want to get too technical here. We will not have the restrictor plate. We will have what we call a tapered spacer that still reduces horsepower, which we have to do at Daytona and Talladega, but it's going to have more throttle response. One reason we have the big wrecks right now is these drivers know if they roll out of the throttle with the restrictor plate, they can't recover. They're going to lose the draft, so they stay in the throttle, and a lot of times they end up driving over the top of each other, as we saw yesterday. I think we may see a different deal. Still some great pack racing when we get to Talladega in the spring here coming up.
Larry McReynolds is with us from Fox, and he's on the Bud Light Hotline. Do you think some of it, too, is youth? I mean, these younger racers just, they haven't gotten the restrictor plate experience that your colleague Jeff Gordon had, or Jimmy Johnson, or Dale Jr. and Dale Sr. They haven't had that experience, so some youth contributes to this as well?
I apologize for the sirens. I promise you that's not the wreckers from yesterday.
Yeah, we're not under caution again, are we?
But, you know, I'd like to blame it on that, but I see the veterans doing the same thing. We saw Jimmy Johnson turn Paul Menard in the Clash a little over a week ago and crash 17 race cars. Yesterday, Paul Menard, another veteran driving for the Wood Brothers, he caused a big wreck at the end of the back straight leg race. So I'd like to sit here and blame it on the rookies, but I almost think our veterans are maybe more guilty than the younger, inexperienced group of drivers.
Really interesting in the broadcast, you guys were bringing this up as we move to Atlanta. That's going to be the first race with the new package you were talking about. And you guys were talking on the broadcast, we may actually get the same super speedway-like pack racing even at Atlanta. Is that possible, you think, that you'll see some pack racing there too?
Well, I don't know that we'll see it at Atlanta, because Atlanta is such a wore-out racetrack. It's one of the oldest surfaces that we race on. And these drivers and teams will constantly be trying to find more mechanical grip with the tires. I think what this package is really going to do at the intermediate tracks like Atlanta, and where we go the following week to Las Vegas, and a couple weeks after that to Auto Club Speedway, it's going to enable a driver to maybe pass. If his car is driving better than a competitor's that he's chasing down, I think he'll be able to go ahead and complete the pass. I don't know that we're going to have at Atlanta and Vegas and Auto Club and all the other bigger intermediate tracks we go to, I don't know if we're going to have 2 and 3 wide, 6 to 7 rows deep like we see at Daytona and Talladega. I think the biggest thing it's going to enable is more passing. And all we can kind of hang our hat on at this point is we ran a very similar package to what we will start running in Atlanta in the All-Star race last May back at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And, yeah, Kevin Harvick still jumped out there and led the final stage to win the race. But we had a lot more racing and passing back behind him. I think that's probably what we're going to see at Atlanta and even Vegas. But I think what we have to do is give it a chance. Let's don't make a knee-jerk reaction over Atlanta or even Atlanta and Vegas. Let's get through a few races and kind of see where we're at, maybe once we kind of clear Atlanta and the West Coast swing.
8 drivers made their Daytona 500 debuts yesterday. One of those, rookie Ryan Preece. How impressive was he?
He was very impressive, and he made it through some wrecks that I held my breath, which a lot of times that's the case at Daytona. It's right place at right time. I'm not a big believer in racing luck. I think you make your luck. But I have to say, when I see some of the wrecks that he squeezed through yesterday, that maybe had to be the racing gods or a little bit of racing luck that kind of shined down on him. He was very impressive. But I'm going to tell you the most impressive run. I know he ended up getting caught up in a wreck. In fact, he was the victim of the Paul Menard bumping down the back straightaway. It was Matt DiBenedetto. I've always felt like that he was a really good racer. He got this opportunity with Levine Family Racing, who has the affiliate with Toyota and Joe Gibbs Racing. And for that young man, who has really had kind of a struggling career because he's not been with top-notch teams, to go out there and lead 49 laps. That's a fourth of the Daytona 500. Regardless of what the finishing order says this morning, I've got to say that was the most impressive run of the day.
A few more moments with Fox's Larry McReynolds on the Bud Light Hotline. You're, as we talked about earlier, a big football fan, obviously a life in NASCAR. Joe Gibbs, better football coach or better NASCAR owner?
I'd be hard to tip the scale either way. You don't win 3 Super Bowls and not be a great football coach, but you don't win the number of cup races and championships. His cars finished 1, 2, 3 yesterday.
I know, it's insane.
That has not happened since Hendrick Motorsports accomplished that over 2 decades ago in 1997. So I just think I would leave it in saying that he is great at both of those roles and obviously continues to build his legacy as a NASCAR Cup Series owner.
Okay, for those that don't know all, and we have a lot of new listeners that don't know Larry's history, he was the guy that helped Dale Earnhardt win the Daytona 500, but he was also a big part of the great Davey Allison's career as his crew chief and mentor. And this was the year Davey got inducted into NASCAR's Hall of Fame. Take us back to that night. How emotional was it, Larry? I know it was very deserving for Davey and for your team, but to see Davey go in, what was that like?
Well, we all knew Davey Allison was a Hall of Famer. No question in my mind, even before there ever was a NASCAR Hall of Fame created roughly 10 years ago. Because to me, a Hall of Famer, it's about numbers, but it's about contributions to the sport. And Davey Allison, just one of those guys that he contributed in many, many ways, on and off the racetrack. And he had to sit there several weeks ago and see him inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. I couldn't be more happier. Yeah, I wished at the end of the day he and Robert Yates, our car owner, could have went in together. Robert went in last year. But the good thing is Robert Yates is in there. Davey Allison is in there. And I couldn't be happier. And, yeah, it was a very emotional night. I really believe this was a very strong Hall of Fame class. And here's an interesting nugget about this Hall of Fame class. It's the only class in the 10 years we've been inducting drivers, owners, crew chiefs into the Hall of Fame, that these five actually competed against each other. And, of course, that was Davey Allison, Alan Quickie, my Fox teammate today, Jeff Gordon, Roger Penske, and Jack Roush. They all competed against each other. So there's just so many cool stories behind this Hall of Fame. But, yeah, very gratifying to finally see Davey Allison inducted.
All right, about 2.5 months from the Geico 500, Sunday, April 28th, out at the Talladega Super Speedway. Larry Mack and the gang will be there from Fox. Larry Mack, always great talking with you. We appreciate the time.
No, I appreciate you having me on this morning. Hard to believe 2019's off and rolling. Yeah, we'll be down at Talladega before you know it. And as I always tell people, love people to follow me on Twitter, at LarryMack28. I love interacting with fans, trying to answer as many questions as I can. If you're looking for a fight, I'm not your guy on Twitter, but please give me a follow, at LarryMack28. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, I know we're less than 2 months away from the A-Day game in Tuscaloosa, but roll tide.
Thank you, Larry Mack. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, at LarryMack28 on Twitter. He's Larry McReynolds from Fox on the Bud Light Hotline.
Follow Lance Taylor on Twitter, at The Lance Taylor.